Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket.
Need it more than ever today. After the opening hour where somebody impassionately told us that there's tons of passing at the Indianapolis Formula One race.
I mean, they don't even pass in the pits. Come on.
There will be passing. I'm telling you. You just have to believe it.
There's more passing in line at Wise as they're going to the baby formula aisle. Come on. You know that. Jeez.
No, there's a lot of passing up and down in that race because there's a lot of good opportunities there. A lot of good opportunities.
I don't mean going from the garage to your pit area.
No.
Hey, come on.
No, there's a lot of good opportunities.
I watched 10 minutes of the race last year. Okay? And today's show is brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, imports, domestics, micro-brews, the best selection of beer anywhere, wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and out every day, and the pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online, sunburymotors.com. See, you haven't run into this, but obviously with seven grandchildren, I still have one in particular that is on baby formula. Ew. You know, because, I mean, my daughter works, she teaches, so yeah. they've got to bring him to daycare. Ugh, this has not been fun.
We had the only issue we had, and this was 23 years ago, the type of formula we had to use was not used very often, so every time we'd look for it on the shelf, it would be expired. That was our biggest issue. We hadn't had anything like what they're experiencing right now.
So you kept using expired formula. I mean, what?
Which does explain a lot now, doesn't it?
Suddenly, out of nowhere, some things have really come into focus.
All of a sudden. Hey, you know what I remembered today?
Your name.
Not without looking at my name tag or my driver's license. No. This is the first time in a long time that I filled in that I remembered the play-by-play call of the day.
Really?
Yeah.
Mario Andretti wins the 1969 Indianapolis 500.
It's a good thought. I wish I would have thought of that one. We'll save that for the week after Memorial Day.
Time now for our play-by-play call of the day.
Hagel put it in front. Killorn shoots, save made. Rebound, point. Score! Rated point! Rated point! We're going to have a game seven. Brayden Point.
I'm sorry, who scored that one?
4-3 in overtime.
You got to extend it further.
That's as far as I could get. No, that's as far as I had available.
Okay, because it's really great. That's Dave Mishkin, the former Hershey Bears play-by-play announcer, who now is the longtime play-by-play voice of the Tampa Bay Lightning and always announces like that. And he works with Phil Esposito, and Esposito's like, all right, now here's how it played out.
The contrasted like, styles.
Calm, cool, collective. Meanwhile, this guy, I get paid by the game. No, I'm just kidding.
Listen, I have been there. I love that call. The reason I picked that is because I can relate to that.
Yeah. Well, it tied the series at three. Andre Vasilevskiy played great last night in goal. I watched a good chunk of that game. The Sixer game wasn't worth watching. I mean, I was like, It's like watching a fogged-in airport. All right.
After Charlie rang the bell, the Sixers game went downhill right after that.
Yeah, that was bad. Bad last night. All right. From FanNation at SI.com, let's bring in Mark Wogenrich. Great to have you with us, Mark.
That is it, Steve. Thanks.
Oh, wonderful.
Nice to be branding. Yep.
Oh, no, branding's great. You know, and a lot of people would like to see me branded, but that's a different story.
those are different kinds of brandings, yeah.
So let's talk about James Harden. No? Okay. So that's out. Let's get to I brought up earlier on the show, anytime there's a job opening of any magnitude, we see names thrown out left and right.
Yeah.
Right? No matter what. Mark Emmert's retiring. Have you heard a single name?
Is, you know, the Condoleezza Rice, you know, right. I say that not as being like that's a name that I've heard, or that just, you know, is her name when it gets mentioned.
I don't
for
think
these sorts of like big picture roles as somebody who as always as somebody maybe that's an outside the box kind of right. name, but no, I haven't. I
don't
assume it would be.
I don't think anybody wants it.
Like that, yeah.
I don't think anybody wants it.
That might be a fair point. Yeah,
that's my point is I don't think anybody wants it. He may still be
somebody,
there.
I would think somebody coming up, somebody who's come up through the NCAA, who is grounded in NCAA. History and legacy and believes in the mission statement would. If you're coming as an outsider, would you come to the NCAA as someone who would continue what they were doing, or would you do, you know, the metaphorical burn it down and rebuild it kind of person? And on the NCAA side, would they want to then to hire that sort of person?
Right. So we know that in 18 to 20 months, the SEC's new TV contract will kick into high gear with ESPN. It's a mega bucks deal, and it's a long-term deal. In 2 to 3 weeks, Mark, you and I will probably know pretty much what the Big Ten is going to get. Not only get, but which networks and so forth. And probably by June 5th, when the presidents and chancellors meet, it may all be pretty much settled at that point. The separation of the Big Ten and the SEC financially from the ACC, the Big 12, and the Pac-12. What do you think moving forward that means in college sports?
It means that the SEC and the Big 10 are going to de facto rule college sports unless those other conferences can figure out a way to get the same kinds of deals. I think we might have had this discussion earlier at another point about the SEC bringing in Texas and Oklahoma. What does that mean? Well, it means the SEC wants to be college football, like capital C, capital F, college football. They want to define college football outside of, you know, the groups of five and the power five and the college football playoff and whatever influence the SEC or the NCAA has. I think now with each getting $1 billion+ a year, which is, I guess, the numbers that are being thrown around, and multiple networks, streaming services, these packages are going to be available in multiple ways for us to see. They are going to have the power and influence that they already have is just going to be extended to the point that they are going to be able to dictate the future of college football, I think. They're going to be able to determine what a playoff field is going to look like, what a roster is going to look like, how, you know, there's all these discussions about what the NCAA is going to do with regard to college athletics and, you know, things like roster management and how many coaches can be hired and, you know, initial counters and everything. And the Big Ten and the SEC are probably going to define those, or they're just going to spin off an organization that says, we have created College Football Inc. to run college football, which might be next.
Yeah. All right. So Gary Barta, the athletic director at Iowa, and at one point was the lead on the College Football Playoff Committee, has come up with an idea. And I believe they're going to have meetings Monday and Tuesday in Rosemont, as a matter of fact. And his idea is as follows. He wants the NCAA to go back to making you sit out a year in a transfer, and he thinks that will then, in turn, the domino would be it would slow down name, image, and likeness money in the transfer portal. What is your thought on, A, the idea, and, B, whether it's now realistic considering how things have gone the last year?
I don't think the idea is without merit.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of, as an old schooler, the one year in residence kind of thing probably was a pretty good idea. As a practical matter, with that door being open for so many years and freshman eligibility and things like that, I don't think it's feasible. The other hand, is at what point does that touch off NCAA versus Alston 2?
Yes, that's right.
When the Supreme Court pretty much says, you know, there are all kinds of antitrust issues here, NCAA, you better be to get ready. That to me would seem like a glaring one.
And that's something I did say, that I think it's an idea worth talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But I also, I'm with you, Mark. I think that you're now waiting, especially now that you have student athletes that have representation.
Yeah.
Because of NIL. They already have it. Somebody will then step up and sue.
And I think, you know, at what point do you have to include athletes and, you know, in turn their representation in these sorts of negotiations, negotiations for these rights, like TV rights, mm-hmm. media rights? Because when will athletes and agents just then, instead of wanting NIL money or the stipend money, I forget what the term was used for that, but like that, what is it, $6,500 or something that, you know,
yeah.
schools can pay?
Yeah, cost of attendance.
Right. When are they going to say, now we want a piece of the TV contract, the media rights contract? And they're going to have a case to make for that, too. So I don't think the Big Ten and the conferences themselves and the NCAA can have these discussions anymore without at least somehow involving athletes in some way, having some sort of athlete representation sit in on these meetings and have input on it, especially something like that about returning the year in residency, because I don't think any athlete is going to want to do that whatsoever.
When an athlete transfers from one school to another and the reported deal is $800,000 over 2 years plus a car, and then the school he's going to, a current athlete that has always been at the school, says, I'm going in the transfer portal unless I get a better NIL deal. Then he withdrew it because, I mean, that's an obvious investigation. No, they may only have 15 to 18 people in the office that are investigating, which I think mm-hmm. that is about the number right now. That was not a joke that I was making there. They still would have looked into that. But what does it tell you about whether the wheels of this are spinning out of control?
I think it'll be one of the things I thought that Patrick Kraft mentioned when he was introduced, and he did mention that. I think he used the terms like sharks in the water, swimming, mm-hmm. circling around, this sort of thing.
Yeah.
But he did sense a correction. And I get from his perspective, having worked at universities and in athletic departments, that, you know, Temple and Boston College were always fighting to get to the place where Penn State is. So
yes.
They might have been more aggressive in mm-hmm. stuff like that. And he's now at a place that, you know, now coming into Penn State, where they're fighting to get to a place where Alabama and Ohio State and, you know, and Georgia are. So I think he would look at it with that perspective. You know, I think this will mitigate, and I think some of these things will balance out, like the example that you gave. But the NCAA, for as much as it can say, we're going, you know, these are the rules that now apply to collectives and that they're boosters, if there are 15 enforcement officers, they need 1,500 enforcement officers,
right,
to do something like that, to enforce the things on the book. There are rules on the books. Otherwise, they're just rules.
If we're brainstorming in a room, just throwing ideas out there, mm-hmm. I'd do it, but it'd all be bad. But, you know, is there anything that comes to your mind that at least gets some semblance of, Control's not the right word because, you know, control is something that immediately antitrust looks at, but gives it a rudder to send it in a real positive direction for everybody involved.
It might have to be a lot of these things coming out in public. I mean, we've read things like that you've mentioned. This deal's reportedly worth $800,000 in a car, or a five-star quarterback or a five-star recruit, his deal with an unnamed school and an unnamed collective is worth $3.7 million over 4 years. Maybe coaches and administrators need to actually out those things.
Yeah.
And to the point that maybe, I don't know if embarrassment causes second looks within the industries, you know, but I just see, I feel like I see coaches and administrators on one hand saying this is out of control, and then on the other hand trying to keep up with what everybody else is doing, trying to keep up with that out of control. And that to me is unsustainable from a coaching perspective, because I just would think you'd burn yourself out. And
yeah,
you know, we'll go back to your initial point. You know, your introduction, would Jay Wright feel more comfortable stepping into the circumstance of the Philadelphia 76ers?
Yes.
And I'm not a basketball guy, but would he feel more comfortable doing that than coaching college basketball? That, to me, is a question I'd love to hear his TED Talk on.
Years ago, Kane Coulter, Northwestern quarterback, took a class, and in the class was about labor relations, and they brought in the head of the steel workers, and he listened to him, and it was about unionizing. And contrary to popular belief, only 4% of the country is unionized. I mean, that's a fact. It's only 4%. But professional sports is unionized all over the place. So...
Yeah.
What about the idea of unionizing college athletes so that now you can actually negotiate specific rules?
That is a possibility. I'm sure there's no lack of people who would want, you know, to write that collective bargaining agreement. That I'm sure there'd be tons of lawyers who would be very willing to get involved with that. Part of the problem, though, to the way I see it, is in that union shops, where, and you know, when I worked at the newspaper, I worked in one. You're unionizing for a workforce that is essentially kind of on the same plane, on the same financial plane.
Yes.
For the most part.
Yeah.
I mean, and in college sports, just, you know, pragmatically, you don't have that.
Right.
Football and basketball are not on the same financial plane as Olympic sports.
Right.
And so I, you know, to unionize, you're going to have to, you know, the structure of it is going to be, I just think, really complicated. But then the idea of just unionizing football players and basketball players is unfair as well.
Right.
Labor lawyers smarter than me, I'm sure, would have a workaround to all that.
Right.
I just see that as, you know, fundamentally, you're unionizing people who are across a spectrum.
Yeah, and again, that's one of those I'm just throwing it out there because I'm not for it. But again, you're just trying to brainstorm ideas moving forward. Since you are part of Fan Nation. At SI.com. How about that?
Nice.
What reaction do you get from fans when you run into them either in a parking lot, you know, like at the Blue-White game, or just in general conversation? Is there a possibility that all this could turn off the fan and it doesn't have the same effect as people thought it would have?
Yeah, it's weird because when you talk about professional sports contracts, the money, you know, the money aspect is fans, like, I feel like they understand that.
Yes.
They said, well, he deserves $30 million a year because he's one of the three best quarterbacks, receivers, to three hitters, whatever, in the game. They get that aspect of
right.
of professional sports. But in college, we still work on the kind of the precept that they're going to school and to play sports. That school comes first, and that is your, you know, that's because that's the reason you went to school. For most of us, you know, we went to school to go to school. There's 800, you know, Penn State has what, 800 student athletes out of a population
yes.
of 40,000?
Yeah, 40,000, 42,000 here, yeah.
You know, so that's 2%. Yeah.
Yeah.
So for the most, yeah, we don't get that. So I just don't think, I the sense that I get from fans is, well, what more do they want besides the college education? That should be enough, that sort of thing. And I, you know, you have to come back and say, well, look, there is this astonishing amount of wealth out there. There's this astonishing amount of money that they are producing that they should be able to participate in, have some sort of access to. Now, at that point, then we're just arguing over, you know, the details, where to put the, you know, the decimal point on the check, that sort of thing. But then necessarily, I think the reaction that I've gotten specifically from NIL, they seem to be two, is I don't think it's a good idea, because, you know, I don't think that, you know, the athletes should be making that kind of money because they hear the big mm-hmm. number contract.
Sure.
Or they go on the other side and say, I want my team to do as well as it possibly
yes.
can, so I want my collective
yes.
to be a $20 million collective.
Right.
You know, that's like, again, as with a lot of things, there's almost no middle.
Yeah.
There's like, you should
that's
take advantage
point.
Of it. You know, kids should be, yeah, should be able to take advantage of that, but I want my college football team to be able to take advantage of that too. So they need $20 million to go get a $3 million
yeah.
quarterback, defensive end, whatever.
Because, I mean, I'm all for name, image, and likeness, but, again, I'm all for it in the old-fashioned sort of way. In other words,
right.
you know, restaurant wants to use said quarterback to be their spokesperson. Great!
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, to me, that's NIL. That's your name, image, and likeness being used to promote something. Now, I'm not going to admit, you know, let's face it, I'm not going to sit here and pretend I'm up to date on how TikTok and Instagram and everything like that works. All right. But if you can make money from that, great. But it's the other stuff we sit back and go, eh, it feels like pay for play.
Because it goes beyond feeling like pay for play.
Yeah.
And like I said, that makes some people uncomfortable. And it also makes some people... I think it energizes some people because
mm-hmm.
yeah, okay, let's do it. You know, hey, the SEC has been doing it since the 1950s, so let's do it. If we're going to do it, let's really just go do it now. So.
Well, it energized John Ruiz of Miami, so everybody knows his name now.
Yeah, he might have learned the word tampering there. So
yeah, but everybody knows his name now.
That's true. It's a great point. Yeah.
Right? And everybody knows his business, too.
Mm-hmm.
All right. My friend, have a great weekend.
Appreciate it. You too, Steve. Thanks so much.
Mark Wogenrich, FanNation@SI.com. Final half hour. I'm sure at some point IndyCar will come up. Then we'll also talk about sports. What?
I'll wait for that final half hour.
You'll have your chance between 5 and 5:30.
Oh, the return of the post show.
The after show.
Right.
It's where you shine.
Time or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection, imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. While Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday. Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Six great flavors of slushies. And the pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And we are in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Before we get to the call, very quickly, congratulations to you and Chief on another PAB award for the outstanding, with in all capital letters, outstanding work the two of you do on Shikellamy football.
Thank you very much. We're very proud of that, and we went up and accepted the award, and the person handing out the award said, "Don't you get this every year?" I said, "No, we didn't quite make it last year, so."
Yeah. Well, you deserve it.
It was really a good day, and we're very proud of that. Thank you.
Well, outstanding work, and it's well rewarded. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Doug in Wellsboro. Dougie, how are you?
Great, Steve. How are you?
I'm well. Thanks for asking.
I was just through the metropolis of Larraysville the other day.
Larraysville is about where my dad grew up. Yeah.
Yeah, yep. I know that.
Larraysville, Warren Center. In fact, I saw a lot of people from Warren Center here at the end of April because my father's cousin, who lived in State College, passed away on New Year's Day. Now, his 100th birthday would have been April 27th. That's why they did the service then. So I saw everybody from Warren Center come down. And, of course, you and I both know that when everybody from Warren Center comes down here, town's empty.
They turn out the lights.
There's last no light one to out. Turn out.
Last one out turns out the lights.
Steve, with this NIL stuff, do you think the Power Five will eventually break away?
I think it's a possibility. But see, there's more to it than just NIL, Doug. I think the TV deals are also changing the landscape. That's why I keep going back to it. The SEC deal is a little more than a year and a half away from kicking in for the 24 season for ESPN and the SEC. Gigantic money. We'll know probably around Memorial Day what the Big Ten deals are, and I think on June 5th when the presidents and chancellors meet, I think it'll become official, and that's going to be a gigantic deal. What will happen, Doug, is that the SEC and the Big Ten financially then will separate themselves from even the Big 12, the Pac-12, and the ACC.
And would it ever get to the extreme point where Power Five or certain teams even break away from their institutions and do like a semi-pro league? Now, I realize that the rights are with the TV rights are with the conferences. That's where the money's at. The stadiums, for the most part, are on university grounds. But in the extreme, would this ever break away to like a semi-pro type situation?
Well, okay. Semi-pro, it depends on how everything goes, if it goes in the direction of pay for play. And that's where they've lost a little bit of control. And when you look at, for example, and I know what the numbers are, like I know what the numbers are since 22 hours ago, because they were told to me by somebody that's running one of the Penn State collectives. So I know where Penn State's numbers are, but they're trying to follow every single line in the compliance book. The question is, who isn't? And I don't mean here, I mean other places. And that's where it comes into play. And there's going to be a couple elements that come into play. Number one, when it comes to the transfer portal, say they do put in, you have to sit out a year. What's going to happen, Doug? You and I both know that somebody will take it to court and challenge antitrust. It's going to be the same thing with name, image, and likeness. If there's any way to restrict it, that's also going to be brought to court for antitrust. So they're trying to walk this fine line, and I'm with Gene Smith. I say put the rules in and roll the dice and see what happens with it instead of cowering in the corner in the field position just being hit all the time.
Well, on the one side, you have the NCAA, which is pretty much impotent anymore.
Right.
The universities, things like that. On the other side, you have, of course, the Supreme Court decision where these guys, in theory, can get paid to play. So does the model still function under the university system anymore?
Well, it's the threat of it, because that's not what the Alston case... This is one of the biggest misnomers out there, that the Alston case opened up name, image, and likeness. The Alston case is very narrow, Doug, as to what it does. What opened the door to name, image, and likeness is what Brett Kavanaugh wrote in his opinion, talking about the NCAA and antitrust laws. I mean, it was the opinion that opened up the door, not the actual case. The actual case was the impetus for the opinion, but the opinion was very narrow in scope. So as of right now, somebody would, in other words, Kavanaugh's threatening that if you ever brought an antitrust case like that and it worked its way all the way up to the court, it would not stand a very good chance. But it would also have to take years to work its way up to the court for that.
Okay. Hey, Kevin, you on the line?
Yeah.
How's Shikalemi looking this year?
They're going to have to fill the quarterback slot. They're going to need a receiver. They're going to lose tight end and wide receiver this year. Well, they will. They already did. So there's going to be some spots available, but they have a young... at last year, a freshman that a lot of people told me a lot of good things about, especially on the coaching staff. So they have a couple of quarterbacks I think that can fill the bill. The real question is, how does the offensive line develop over the summer? You know, I was years ago, I was never a huge fan of 7-on-7s. I really don't think it gives the linemen an opportunity to do some work. Then they added a lineman challenge on some of these 7-on-7s. So I think that has really helped get guys ready for the fall through the months of June, July, and right before camp starts in August. So I'm optimistic, but they do have some holes to fill.
Okay. Hey, I wanted to let you know, there's a certain program on WKOK that makes fun of you all the time.
I've heard about this.
Now, I wouldn't participate in such activity, like saying I see plays before it happened and things like that. But I just wanted to, as a public service, let you know of this.
Yeah. I heard that there was a show that had something about he saw what I saw. And
I'd like to point out there's also a lot of opinion. That show's very entertaining.
I just want you to know he agreed with me when he heard about that. He did see what I saw. I just want you to know that.
All right. Thanks for taking my tough call, guys.
Thanks, Doug. Good hearing from you.
Bye.
We always put it to the Bing Crosby song.
Do you see what I see? What I see? I have to admit that was good. You know,
we always do that to the holiday.
I gotta admit that.
We had Sean Carey here, and I said, "Sean, get the Bing Crosby song." Right? And he says, "Really?" I said, "Just
go with
my
it.
Leader." Yeah. Well, what happened was actually I found the song. I told him to play it, and then I played the song right out of it. It was the time of the year.
It felt good. I actually liked that. I thought it was pretty funny when I heard about it.
I was feeling festive. Okay, so which one of the overpaid individual drivers will win this weekend? On Roger Penske's track, I might add.
Yes, Roger Penske owns, well, not only Roger Penske owned the track, he owns the series, too, so... you know what?
I thought you hated that guy.
You know what? I'll be honest with you. I was
because never... he saved your sport.
I was not a big Roger Penske fan. All right,
Speaks highly of you.
Not when I ran into him, he didn't. But I will say this much: since he has owned IndyCar and the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, he has done a fantastic job of separating the team from the series. I was worried that, you know, there was going to be a little too much mixing, but I think he's done a really good job at separating sometimes not only himself, but the entities, you know, the racing entity and the ownership entity of the series. I think he's done a good job of setting it apart, and I think he's done the right things for the series. I still think there's too many road courses and too many street courses. But I think he's done the right thing.
I so know who wins? No, I really wasn't here. I didn't hear a word you said.
So it's just normal Friday.
Yeah, exactly.
Who wins?
So yes, who wins the race this weekend?
There have been four races this year. Three drivers have won. And one is basically a series rookie. I think this is wide open. I think you have to lead toward Joseph Newgarden because he's really driven the street courses very, very well this year. And this is a permanent permanent road course, not necessarily a street course. I think this really shapes up for him. But again, he has to really do well in qualifying to be able to move up. I don't think you can move up from the back of the pack. I think you can move up from the middle, but I don't think you can move up from the back.
That's because nobody passes.
You want to see the best road course I have ever seen. Not a street course, but the best road course I've ever seen was...
routes 11 and 15.
At 5 o'clock on a Friday, yeah. No, the Alabama and Barber Motorsports Park. That is a very entertaining course. There's a lot of good passing zones. There's a lot of changes in elevation. If I remember correctly, that one was originally made for motorcycles. But boy, has it really done a great job with the IndyCar series coming in there, and it's been very entertaining racing.
Well, I think that if you want to see passing, go to Sealands Grove this weekend.
Well, there'll be a lot of passing on the dirt, no question about that. There always is there.
Right. Meanwhile, on TV, and our people in the truck and graphics actually went out to get a sandwich. They haven't had to change the order.
I don't understand the excitement of Formula One worldwide when no one changes spots. And I have a real big problem with Formula One not fueling. It's four tires, 18 guys over the wall doing the pit work. The whole pit stop is 2 seconds. If you're longer than 2 seconds, it's called slow. That's not fun to me. I've tried Formula One. It just doesn't work.
Well, yeah, well, you kept finishing last.
No, that was on the video game version.
Are you still playing video games?
Got to do something for entertainment.
What, this show isn't enough? We'll come back with more in a moment. Brought to you by Brewers Outlet here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, and Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Hey, stock up for the weekend at Brewers Outlet, by the way. It's going to be, you know, again, weather's been really, really nice. Hey, go over to Sealands Coast Speedway. You know, you want to watch some racing, you know, where actually people pass each other? Now, when the Indy 500 comes up, now that's big league.
You know, a lot of the guys came out of stuff that you see in IndyCar now. You see, came out of the Dirt Track Series.
Or NASCAR. I saw a lot of guys at Stafford Speedway in Connecticut when I was a kid that worked their way up into the NASCAR ranks.
Isn't that Jack Arute's track?
Jack Arute owns that track, yes.
I miss him. No. I really miss him on IndyCar.
Jack's a pro's pro. And I did a Penn State linebacker project with Jack a couple years ago.
Still doing some college football stuff. Not on television.
Yeah, no,
but...
right. But it was a show on Penn State. It was a show on linebackers, and he asked me to be on it as a guest, so I did that with him. We had a lot of fun with it. Great guy. Really like Jack. But yeah, he owns Stafford Motor Speedway. I think it's like, I don't think that's a half mile track. It might be a little shorter than that. But you've had a lot of guys come out there and have raced there. I mean, Jeff Bodine, of course.
Yeah.
Raced a lot there. Rusty Wallace raced there. They've had some. And I think it was featured on one of the CBS. This past summer, CBS did a series from tracks, and Stafford was one of them that was featured.
He has it mentioned in his book, and I'm trying to remember the name, but I can't remember. But he wrote a book several years ago about his experiences at the Indianapolis 500, and he talked about a little bit about Stafford and. Of course, talked about interviewing A.J. Foyt.
Well, I'm sure that's always interesting.
He's one of the few guys that I could actually have a good interview and conversation with him, but it took a long time to get there.
Well, you know what? But there's some people, and you know this, Kevin, that sometimes it takes a little bit for, depending on the personality of somebody to trust you.
Exactly.
And when they trust you, then you really get a lot out of them. You know, I'll give you an example of a guy. We had him on the show last week. It was Jaquan Brisker. It's kind of took a little bit. You know, once Jaquan Brisker quote trusts you, man, you are golden. I mean, it's and, you know, and the key is don't burn people. You know, don't like, you know, for example, some guy makes what he thinks is a great call in the game. You don't pair it up with a Christmas song. That's burning a guy.
Krieger agreed. He saw what I saw.
Let me put it this way. He's thrilled because we made him famous.
Well, that and he had a pick six, too. That helps.
Pick six and everything that went with it. Congratulations, though, on the PAB award.
Thank you, bud.
Well deserved. You and the chief. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, and News Radio 1070 WKOK.